You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, home of the Real Anxiety Blob. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com. You're listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GBTV and the Geek Ventures. Welcome to the Blurred Nerds podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
It's time for episode 252.
252. Giggity.
Ha! We're down here where our weather still doesn't know what it wants to be in Texas.
I know yesterday it was a nice warm, like it was like 80 degrees outside. We were at my nephew's birthday party and we were just outdoor on the patio and the sun was shining and it was like, oh, this is a lot different than like 2 weeks ago when it was less cold outside.
Yeah, I had to break out shorts yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I'm wearing shorts again today. Even though it's like windy, but then like in three more days it's going to be back in the 40s. So
South Texas, my friend. Welcome to the ever-changing weather. Well, at least until, you know, the end of May comes and then it says like we're going to be hot until further notice.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that's I'm hoping we find a house before then. I don't want to deal with moving in 100 degree weather.
Oh, I always thought about those people who move in the summer, you know, especially if you live in like the south, anywhere south of like North Carolina, you're just like, it's hot. It's just hot all the time. Let me decide I'm going to move in June. That's why. No, I mean, just go ahead and move all my heavy furniture and lift heavy things and grunt and moan and physical exertion. And it's 100 degrees outside. That doesn't sound like a great combination.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, we're gonna pay people to help, but still gonna have to deal with it.
Oh, God. You know, the worst part for me really is I can get people to help me with the moving physically of, you know, furniture and all that shit. It's the packing. And it's putting together, packing up all your stuff. When you finally realize just how much stuff you actually have.
Well, you've been to my house. You see the enormity of
you guys live in a knickknack museum. You live in a knickknack museum, okay? You have a lot of stuff. But I'm talking about the general person, just when you realize things you don't think about because you know you've stored them or they're your closet or they're just tucked away and you don't really think about them until you've got to pack them and move them. And then it's like one of those adulting things we talk about, you know, I just never liked moving ever. I've hated every time I've had to do it.
Well, yeah, you know, we did mention this. We're going to do a part two of our series of annoying things about adulting. So it's a good way to start it off. But yeah, I've been thinking like maybe I should just start packing, you know?
I would.
Just so I don't have to do it all at once.
I would pack all the things that are absolutely non-essential. Like things you just can just put away.
But there's so many non-essential things.
Well, I guess if you ask Cam, he'd have a different idea of what's essential and what's non-essential.
Yep. This is, you know, 25 little kangaroo men's bedside table statue thingies. Like you see in Pulp Fiction that Bruce Willis keeps his watch on it. Like, yeah, to him having all 25 out at once is essential.
It's totally essential. Yeah.
Even though, you know, they're put up in a display case. It's dark most of the time, so you can't even see they're there. I made a joke to him last night. He did not appreciate. I was like, you know, I could just like grab some of your stuff and sell it. And you wouldn't even know it's gone because you don't remember bringing it into the house in the first place.
He probably was like, hey, no, that's not funny.
His response was, that sounds like something my first ex-wife would say.
You're like, I love you too, honey.
But it's true. He'll bring something in a week later. I'm like, where do you want to put this? I don't know what it is. You brought it in the house. Never seen it before. You literally walked it in the house.
and told me about it. Yeah. Well, hey, well, good luck. May the odds ever be in your favor.
Which, you know, is another display of an annoying adult things is, you know, when you're younger, you joke about people forgetting things, but then you start hitting around the 40s and, oh, you really do forget things.
Oh, yeah, you become that person. I used to, my mother would always ask me, how do you spell this? How do you spell this? What's the thing? And like, we'd be watching TV or something, and she'd be like, that guy, what's his name? I said, who? Do you know the dude? What dude? The guy with the thing. What are you talking about?
Thing?
You know, the thing with the power.
The what power?
You know what I mean? The guy that just did the thing. And you're like, oh my God, woman, have your brains gone to scrambled eggs? What is wrong with you? I used to joke about it all the time. And now I'm 46 years old, and my God, dude, there's some times where I'm just like, you know what I mean? What the thing? And I'm doing the same thing. And I'm just like, oh my God, I've become my mother.
I thought, like, you become a cliche. It's the you really do walk in a room and totally forget what the hell you walked in there for. And like, I don't have forget the things that, like, you know, you see characters in a TV show forget. Like, I don't lose my keys. I rarely lose my phone. I don't lose my glasses on top of my head, but maybe like once or twice in my life. But it's like I'm like trying to find some. You know, that paperwork or something I need, or I'm cleaning and then I walk in the room and I'm like, what did I come in here for? Then I have to retrace my steps to try and jog my memory and hope that it comes back. Or, you know, that used to be able to go grocery shopping without a shopping list. Can't do that now because I'll spend way too much money and come back and not have bought any of the things.
You're like, oh, I got this. And you're like, you originally were going to the store for toilet paper, and you're like, oh, damn it. I forgot the toilet paper.
Of course, you know, unless you're shopping now when there just is no toilet paper.
Oh, right. Or you can't afford something. And you're like, well, I guess I'm not getting that.
The annoying adulting thing that we brought up, I started to bring up last show, and then just decided to let it go, but it's happened like four more times in the past week and a half, and that is solicitors. Door-to-door solicitors.
Get off my lawn!
I don't understand why this, like, in this day and age, why do people accept jobs that require them to go knock on people's doors? Like, because, you know, there's some people to just open the door with a shotgun.
This is Texas.
No, I'd say that's not just a Texas thing.
I'm sure the odds are greater here because, you know, everyone's packing guns.
Like, why do cable companies keep knocking on my door?
Like, I don't know.
And not accept it when I say I'm not interested. And then want to ask me 50 coins. Well, who are you using? How much do you pay? Well, how fast is it? It's like, it doesn't matter. I told you no.
They are being told not to accept your no. For an answer, and a lot of it's like they have a quota and they've got a job to do. And
no, I understand the
job. But yeah, you're like,
I don't understand why, and especially when you have a no soliciting sign.
Yeah. And why do cable companies even still do that? That seems like an archaic, like last century way to go about doing things.
Like, don't get me wrong, I totally get the kids going door to door to sell candy. You know, you're raising money, you know, for all those different school things that we've all done. Like, I get that. I mean, I have a Ring doorbell, so I can decide whether or not to open it. But it's some, you know, like the cable people, they'll just keep ringing the damn doorbell until I open it. And, you know, the dogs are going nuts. I have no choice. And then get irritated.
The trap has been sprung.
Yeah. Get mad at me when I say no.
You mean you don't want Time Warner? You don't want Spectrum?
Well,
shocking.
Yeah, like, some of it, they're like, oh, I'm here for, you know, we're doing roof estimates or tree estimates. And I'm like, I'm a renter. Well, can't you call your landlord? No.
Can't you fuck off?
Yeah. Or it's the same as, like, you know, they're setting up tables in like Walmart and grocery stores, and trying to catch you when you walk by the electronics department. I now like fake being on my phone.
Yeah.
Or I've learned where they're set up, or and like walk the long way to get to where I'm going to avoid them.
I do the like the whole teardrop meander, like when I see them, and I, instead of beelining straight to the door, either in or out, I just kind of curve around like away from them and just kind of look away real quick, like, oh, look, what's over there? Or listening to something, or I'm on my phone because you don't want to be drawn in. And then you feel guilty if they're talking to you and then you just kind of ignore them and just keep walking. Yeah, at least I do. I don't know why I shouldn't.
Because we're raised to think that we should be polite to everyone.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And I'm just like, I feel like I need to acknowledge them at least, you know, and then you tell them no, then they're like, but however, blah, 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 blah. You're like, no, but no, however. Like I'll get calls for the, like the roof estimate folks are like, eh, we're, you know, house warranty this and roof estimate that. I'm like, I live in an apartment complex. So no, you stop calling me.
Your car warranty is about to expire. I don't have a car.
Yeah.
And when I did have, well, I mean, I have a car, but it's, you know, it's under my husband's name. And it was paid for outright. So it doesn't have a warranty.
Yeah. They just get phone numbers and they don't check them. They just dial. It's like throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. That's all it really is.
Here's one I know annoys you because you've gone off on rants about it before. And that is paperwork.
Paperwork kills me.
Whether it's trying to apply for things, see if you qualify for things.
It's, you know, first off, it's part of it is because I fill out so much paperwork for going to medical appointments. You would think in this day and age, the year 2022, that they would have this universal system where your medical records are electronic and any information you submitted to one doctor is available for another. Like yeah. There should be a national system of like, if you've seen a doctor and they've got all your medical maladies and shit on file, then it just gets put in a database so that you go to another doctor, they're like, oh, well, we looked at the national database thing, but they don't have that because America, and they're just dumb like that. So every time I go to the doctor's office, every time it's a new doctor, every time it's a different appointment, I've got to fill out paperwork. And what really gets me is I have to fill out paperwork. Like I'll go to my heart doctor. I go there all the time. They fucking know everything that's wrong with me and everything that's been wrong with me and everything that probably will be wrong with me. Yet every time I go, I have to fill out the same fucking sheet of paper. And I'm like, do you guys not by now know you should have memorized my shit? I've been your patient for like 15 years.
I've been at my dentist every week for the past 3 months. And every time they're like, so what are your drug allergies? It is right there on the computer screen.
Exactly. And then, so I fill out the paperwork sheet and I put it to the receptionist, nurse, whatever lady. Then the nurse comes in after I'm taken to the back of the room and they get my vitals. The nurse comes in and asks me some of the same shit that's on the form. I'm like, why do you maybe fill that form out? And then you come in here and you fucking ask me, what's the point? Like either do the form or just fucking ask me. Don't make me do both because you're killing me because I'm left-handed. So every time I write, and the world is made for right-handed people. 90% of it is right-handed people. So us left-handers are like writing on right-handed forms and I'm smudging things with my hand because my hand is running over where I've written an ink. So I get ink stains on my hand all the time.
But also, why does paperwork even need to exist now?
Like, I'm saying.
So perfect example, my dentist again, everything is on an iPad. So There's drop-down menus, you know, there is a space for me to type in something if it's not in the menu. So we don't have to waste printing off sheets of paper and it's stored digitally. Why isn't it like, why do we still have to print out forms? Why can't we just do it digitally on a website?
It's stupid, insane how last century the medical industry still.
Oh, it's not even just a medical. We still business taxes. We can't file them electronically. We still have to mail them in and hope that they get to their destination.
And the IRS is like, we might get them.
What? Although the IRS is 2 years behind on processing people's tax returns.
And a lot of it is red tape and government bureaucracy.
It's the size of the government. It's paperwork. It's because there's fiscal paper.
because they haven't upgraded their systems. They're working on fucking archaic dinosaur systems that can't either handle the electronic, you know, upgrade stuff, or they just, you know, I don't know.
Or somebody says, get something in writing. Well, why can't you just email it? Why can't that be considered getting something in writing?
You know, you can give people your electronic signature now. I mean,
and you can create an electronic letterhead.
Exactly. And I remember I worked for a place. It was VisionWorks. It was an eyeglasses and contact lens company. And I worked at their office in downtown San Antonio. And we worked on the floor, and I swear they had two full, very large rooms of file cabinets with just paperwork, which they had to hold on to for 7 years for, I guess, because it was HIPAA requirements. And I'm like, all that could have been digitized. You could have digital records. I mean, sure, you could have backups you could have digital backups to the digital copies in case, you know, something happens and you lose one set. You could have air-gapped records, you know, that aren't connected to the freaking internet or whatever, just in case there's something wrong. There's so many fail safes, but they had paper copies of files that no one will ever ask for ever, but they had to keep them.
Yeah,
it's so pointless and it's such a waste. So many trees had to die.
One more annoying adult thing, and that I actually dealt with yesterday, is like nobody prepares us as kids that we could have these like weird random health maladies that just strike with no warning. And you know, they say not to Google your symptoms because, you know, it can cause anxiety, but there are some things that I have had to deal with that, like, yeah, I have no fucking clue what this is, but I know it's not like worthy of going to the hospital for, you know, so I have no choice but to Google my symptoms. Perfect example, something I did not even know it was a thing, because nobody had ever said this in front of me before as a kid, teenager, whatever: ocular migraines. And let me tell
your eyeball had a headache.
Your first time this happens, it is panic inducing, because you're going blind, basically. So the best way I can describe it is, you know how I think everybody's eyeballs do this, where you like your eye twitches and you feel like this, like there's a part of your skin that feels like something's tapping it from the inside, and it's just like bounce, 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 bounce. So it's a twitch. It's a muscle. It's basically a muscle spasm in your eyelid or something like that. So it pulses like that, but you don't feel it quite the same. And it's like you're watching a bunch of flash bulbs at once. So you just get these white and black flashes, and it's basically takes over your field of vision to where you can't see anything else. And the only remedy is you have to just keep your fucking eyes closed, but you still see those flashes with your eyes closed. And it starts on the outer circles of your field of vision, and then it starts closing into the center to where it gets to where you're not really seeing anything. And it can be gone in 20 minutes, or it can last for hours. So yesterday,
I've never heard of that.
It lasted for 6 hours. And then your body's worn out because it's a strain. It stresses your eyes out. And you know, you got to keep yourself calm while it's happening and be like, I'll see you again. I'll see you again. I don't know when I'm going to be able to see you again, but I'll see you again. And so first time it happens, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Oh my God. I've got something wrong with me.
And I had to call a friend and was like, yeah, I'm going blind right now. I can't see. And it was Courtney. So she like dropped everything and came over, because I was like, look, I'm fucking scared. if I need to go to the doctor, I can't drive myself, you know? So
right.
she came over and sat with me for a few hours and it slowly started to go away. And they say you can get it. It's basically a result of eye strain. So as somebody, you know, who sews a lot and works on the computer a lot and unfortunately plays on my phone a lot, yeah, that's the, you know, the cure for it is to not do any of those things, which, you know, I can't. I have to do them. And it's not something you can like go to your optometrist or eye doctor and be like, hey, this happens, how do I fix it? There is no fix. The fix is to not do the things that cause the strain.
That sounds horrendous.
I mean, no one told me about any of that when I was a kid, that my body's just gonna fall apart randomly.
I had hay fever, the worst I've ever had it in my life, like a week and a half ago, to the point that I ended up getting, I guess from the snot and the production of the snot, I got one of my ingrown nose hair, like inside my nose.
Yeah.
Like, and it made one of my turbinates like swell up to my left nostril was swollen shut. Like, and it was just like, they had this big knot on my nose and I used to touch it and it was, you could tell it was full of like goo, which just was nasty. I was like, I went to the emergency room, whatever. They're like, oh, here's some antibiotics and some decongestant. I'm like, oh, thanks. Appreciate it. So I ended up getting to the point where I got it to pop. And, you know, pus doesn't smell good.
Yeah.
When it's inside your nose, it's even worse. I was just like, when did I turn into an old man? Oh my God. I'm gonna have to get like a nose hair trimmer or something. This is, so let this happen again. I mean, it sucked. I thought it was gonna, it's like, I'm gonna die. This sucks.
Yeah. And these are not the things we like see in television shows growing up.
No.
That, you know, our parents or grandparents warn us about.
No, my grandpa didn't sit me down and said like, hey, you know, you're gonna reach a certain age where, you know, body hair is gonna start growing in places that you don't want it to. And well, you know, things are gonna start falling off or breaking down or, you know, you're just gonna turn into an old man.
No, I was told things would break down. I was not told, you know, I'm randomly gonna not be able to see one day.
One eye. One of your nose nostrils is going to swell shut. You know.
Or you're going to have arthritis pains in your hand, but only in your pinky.
Or yeah. Not or the you're going to get like, you're going to get like nerve numbness in your pinky. And you know, it's, if you sleep wrong, you're going to wake up and your hands are going to be dead asleep.
Or you can wake up one day and you have a frozen shoulder, even though you're not really that active with it.
Or, you know, you get bruises on yourself and you don't realize how you bruised yourself. You know, like, did I do that? You know, strain your back, getting out of bed. Like, oh.
Go to the doctor. Oh, well, a frozen shoulder is actually really common in women your age. Really? What women? Because I've never, no one's ever told me.
You hear that your age part. Oh, that's pretty common in men your age or women. You're like, oh, what's that supposed to mean? I'm like, so you're trying to tell me like a roundabout way that I'm getting older, that I'm, you know, middle aged, or is this what you're just trying to say?
Well, you know. I don't even mind the middle age, where I'm like, where are these women? Where are these people?
I don't know any of them.
If it's common, why haven't I met any of them?
I know is it's happened to me. And I don't know anyone else it's happened to.
That seems pretty rare.
Yeah, right.
I know a lot of people.
I know many, many folks. I don't know anyone else who's ever said, you know, that's happened to me too. Usually I tell them, they're like, oh, that sucks for you.
No, they're like, what did you do? Nothing. I just woke
up. Yeah. What did you do, dude? I don't know, man. I didn't do anything. I don't know, man. You had to have done something. No, man. It just happened. Tell you what.
But so that's part two of our annoying adulting things. I'm sure in a future date, we'll come up with some more because, oh, there's so many.
Adulting never ends. It's like you do it one day, like after we're done with this, I have to, been putting it off for a long time, I have to do my laundry. Oh, it's one of the most adult things I hate doing. I hate it, but I have to, because you know, you need clean underpants.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so like you can have enough underwear to last like every day for 2 weeks.
Oh, I,
but at some point you do have to wash them.
Trust me,
because you will. I have you can't like, just keep buying new ones.
I have like 3 weeks worth of laundry just sitting in the basket, and I'm like, I'm literally wearing the last clean pair of underpants I have. I'm like, I got to do it. I have no other choice.
Yeah, so you know, try having more than one person, and you do the laundry, and then 2 days later, the basket's full again, and you're like, how many fucking clothes can one person wear in two? Why is there 2 weeks of clothes being worn in 2 days? I don't understand.
Are you putting on a clean shirt every time? Like, can't you just do the sniff test, reuse it? Jesus.
Why are there six pairs of jeans in the dirty clothes when all of them were clean a day and a half ago?
I don't think I own six pairs of jeans. I might own like three or four pair of jeans, you know. Let's rotate, man.
Oh, let's put it this way.
They're jeans.
My husband owns three times more clothes than I do, and I have a lot of clothes. Like, he has, I think, 24 pairs of jeans. I have five.
That's a lot of jeans.
Yeah.
Way too many jeans. I'm like, are you sure you're a dude, Cameron? Because that's a lot of clothes, bro.
I am occasionally able to, you know, because I go through my wardrobe every 6 months and, you know, do the spark joy. Can I fit into this anymore? Can I realistically get back down into shape to fit in this? Have I worn this more than once in 6 months? You know, I have no problem letting go of my stuff. But he does. So occasionally I'm able to get him to get rid of like
Cameron three sounds or like four he's got a problem. Getting rid of a lot of things. He just likes stuff.
Yeah, he does. He likes stuff. He likes having a lot of stuff. He's very much the he who has the most toys wins type of person.
I used to have a t-shirt that said that.
So, but you know what? That's a picker personality trait, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you like finding the going out rummaging and this antique sales and all that, like, yeah, to me, you'd have to enjoy having all the stuff. Whereas, like, I'm the weirdo who's like, I have a few things I'd like to have. If I don't see them, like, I'm not gonna like just get something to get something. It's like, if I don't see what I want, I'm good. Many times, just pick yourself out something. I don't want any of this. Come on, just pick out something. Nope, I'm good. All right, it's time for us to take our first break here on the show. And when we come back, we'll, one, get to hear the Geek Father's initial thoughts on the newest Batman installment. And two, get to talk about something that consumed both of us for the past couple weeks. And that is the train wreck that became Love is Blind Season 2. Woo-hoo!
Hey, Mike, I think I might have the new promo for Earth Station 1 for the spring. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Celebrating over 12 years of bringing you all things geek, we're the Earth Station 1 podcast. No matter the topic, we have been showing you all sides of geekdom with interviews, reviews, discussions, con reports, and as always, the Geek Seat. Join Mike and Mike weekly at earthstation1.com or wherever fine podcasts are found. That's Earth Station 1. What do you think? Is it okay?
That's fine. We'll do better next time.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, where you'll find everything from thought-provoking personal essays, recipes from the Catastrophe Kitchen, themed Spotify playlists, new book reviews, and more. Want to join the coziest corner on the net? Send in your submission today at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com/write-for-us.
This Labor Day weekend, fandom is calling. Let Michael, Mike, Darren, and Jen help you answer the call with the latest news, notes, tips, and tricks on the DragonCon Report. Available as an audio podcast, visit DragonConReport.com, and for the first time ever, watch us on video via Facebook Live and YouTube. We want to help you celebrate your fandom in all the best ways. So listen up, and we'll see you at the con.
And welcome back to the show. Yeah. What do you want to start off with the train wreck, or you want to start off with your review?
Let's start off with the review.
Okay, so
the train wreck is going to be delicious.
Are we giving people a spoiler warning, or will this be spoiler free?
I will make it as spoiler free as possible, because it's this one
It's only been out 2 days, so
it's only been out 2 days, so I don't want to really spoil a lot of it for people. But I, the best when I'm sitting there watching it, it's like almost 3 hour long movie. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and the whole time the only thought that kept going through my head was, this is the most Batman movie I've ever seen in both length and like essence. Like, if you're a huge fan of Batman and you've read the comics, and especially the detective comics from like the 70s and the 80s, where it was Batman going to a crime scene and like actually using detective skills to solve like serial killing crimes and like murders and, you know, regular shit like that, that actual police detectives have to like do research and, you know, investigate a crime scene kind of, this is that Batman. It's very focused. It's very dark. Like, it's very well shot. Like, the cinematography is fantastic. And Matt Reeves chose to like all the exterior shots. It, like in Seven, like David Fincher Seven, like all the exterior shots, it's always raining. Like this one, it's always raining. It's always wet. It just has this very gothic, oppressive feel to it. And I don't know what city they, you know, the conglomeration of cities they shot it in. It puts it together to make like Gotham City seem very like sprawling and just kind of, you know, it has this dreary New York kind of slash Chicago feel to it. Robert Pattinson is really fantastic as Batman. He, I think, is the least amount of words a lead character has had in a Batman movie. Like, he rarely speaks. When he does, it's in these very hushed tones. He only says as much as he needs to say to get the point across.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, his bat suit, he's like just started out as Batman. He's only like in his second year. So he's still this full of spit and vinegar. He wants to, you know, kick everyone's ass. He's out for vengeance and, you know, not so much the justice kind of, you know, I wouldn't say kinder, gentler Batman, but he, you know, he's more full of rage and ready to just like put his boot in everyone's ass. And his bat suit seems more utilitarian than it's ever been. Like, it's more military type, because he's wearing these heavy, almost combat boot type boots that when, and I think they made this a conscious choice for when he's walking around, like you could hear his footsteps, they sound heavier than everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I guess to put a point, like when you hear him coming, all you hear is the footsteps and they focus on like a dark corner and then you don't see anything. And then you see him like walk out of the shadows, you know, with the cape and the cowl, and the, you hear his footsteps. And then of course all the criminals are just like freaking out. Like, it's the Batman. This one's very, it's not like, I feel like Matt Reeves tried to out Nolan, Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you're, this is, yours is dark and gritty? Well, hold my beer. This one, it's very, it's like, best I can say about it is like the movie Seven, but they put Batman in.
How was Catwoman?
Zoe Kravitz was good as Catwoman. I didn't really like her costume very much because basically she was just wearing like a balaclava, but like the eyes cut out. And it was just like the little cat ears on top. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it was more because obviously she didn't have the kind of funds that Batman has to have a custom made outfit. So, but she was great. I mean, they tied in her story because you'd have to be, if you're familiar with the Hush in the long Halloween storylines, and if you're familiar with like the, you know, Carmine and the Falcone mob boss story stuff, then you'll be familiar with what's going on in this movie. And Paul Dano is the Riddler. He was really good. I mean, they portrayed the Riddler as more of a serial killer.
Wasn't that a spoiler?
No, they announced him. He's been announced for the movie for a long time.
I thought they were trying to hide that he was the Riddler.
No, they were playing that up in the trailers and everything. It's not a spoiler. Okay. It's not that I know of. Yes, Paul Dano as the Riddler was great. They played him as like, if it was like, you know, the Zodiac killer. He kind of was like, you know, here's your riddle to solve. And it was very clever, a lot of the riddles. And it was a lot of things and hints and clues in the movie that, you know, led you in one direction. And then it turns out it was like a red herring and it didn't turn out to be what they were looking for. And it was just a really good movie, man. I thought it was the essence of Batman. It was the Batman that people have been asking for a long time. And they did a lot of Easter eggs and little things that sort of leading you to, you know, the sequel. Like they're doing a spinoff with Colin Farrell, who's playing the Penguin.
And he also had an excellent episode of Hot Ones last week.
I did. I watched that last night. It was great.
Yeah.
But he was literally unrecognizable as the Penguin. They're doing a HBO Max spinoff for him. And then they're doing one with Commissioner Gordon. And Jeffrey Wright was really good as Commissioner Gordon. It was just very gothic, and it was very crime noir detective story. And it wasn't like the, oh, I'm Batman and I've got like a million gadgets and I'm going to fight, you know, space gods and save the world kind of Batman. It was the, I'm just trying to, you know, save my city and stop a serial killer Batman. Just kind of really boiled it down to the purest. It was like a purist Batman, if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like fans of like the just the pared down basics Batman, like the core of who he is and what he is and what he does. And that's what this movie is all about.
So would you say it's the type of movie that people need to see on the big screen?
I would say if you are a film aficionado, if you're like a cinephile, like you really enjoy going to the movies and watching the films at the movies and watching it on a big screen, I would say yes. I would recommend it.
But I mean, are the, like, you know, like when we saw Dune with the effects and stuff, it's like, yeah, that's the type of movie that's going to look better on a big screen. So is it similar? Like, is the sets and effects? And
I wouldn't say it's to that extent. It is similar. I think it would be fantastic if it was seen on the big screen, but I think the effect of the movie and what the point it's trying to get across and you know, its effectiveness would still be good at home, maybe even better because you'll get to take pee breaks. You'll get to pause it. But it's great at the theater. It really is.
Yeah, see, so.
And there's...
I'll be waiting for it to come home.
Yeah, and there's sort of a post-credit scene, but not really.
Oh, I saw a thing that there's a riddle at the end and you have to solve it that will lead you to something
at the end it tells you, like, when the credits finally finish rolling, it says goodbye, and it's like a little like it's typed up on a computer screen and there's a question mark, and then like for a second there flashes a website that's like, it's like elratalada.com or something, and if you go to that site and you unlock the cipher, then it gives you, it unlocks a 30-second clip of Thomas Wayne as, you know, his mayoral speech or something like that. It's really clever. It's a clever crime story. Matt Reeves did a great job. I don't think I've ever seen a Matt Reeves movie that I didn't like. He's a really great, he's one of the best directors right now. And I imagine they have ideas for a sequel already, because it's already made $128.5 million opening weekend. And so far, it's up to $248.5 million. So it's the second highest grossing opening of a movie behind Spider-Man No Way Home. It's doing bang, bang numbers. So it's already being talked about for sequel.
All right, well, let's move on to what kind of engrossed us the past few weeks, to the point to where we went and watched the foreign versions of it. And that is that Love is Blind returned to Netflix
a few weeks ago. This season was deliciously terrible.
And we got tired of waiting for new episodes each week. So you watched Love is Blind Brazil And yes. I watched Japan, and I started Brazil, but then I stopped like after four episodes. I do have to say, though, it is interesting to see how it is. The people are completely different on each country.
Absolutely.
Version.
Like the Brazilian folks were more open and just kind of free with their, I mean, their attitude. Like in the American version, nobody like gave their last name, and you rarely heard their last names, but like saying their full name, and they were showing them like, it was like kind of light petting, kind of sexy time, but they were showing them.
Oh no, they to me
it was like whoa.
We're like, yeah, we're having.
Yeah, sex. The girl was on top of the guy. She had her top off. You're just like, oh.
Also, alrighty. when they were meeting face to face in the Brazil version, every couple kissed.
Oh yeah, and they like, were making out.
None of them, like, well, on Japan, I wouldn't expect them to, because they, you know, have different societal norms, but the American
they were bowing politely.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the Brazilian version, everyone was insanely hot. Like even the regular people, you're like, whatever's in the water there in South America, everyone is pretty. Like they were all very tattooed. It was wonderful to see because, you know, in the American version, everyone was so bland and
if they were tattooed, it
was places you couldn't see, but yeah, like these folks were just, one lady had a full arm
sleeve. You know, oddly enough, they were very tattooed in the Japanese version too.
Yeah, I think, no, I mean, it's just a cultural thing, differences. But yeah, so, but the American version is the one that's the trashiest still.
Because after watching the reunion that aired this week, it just became evident that there's one guy in particular that basically was just on the wrong show.
We should have known when the guy's name is what, Abhishek?
His name is Shakti on the show.
Yeah, his nickname is Shake. Any guy who has a nickname like that, you're automatically marked them as douchey material. And man, was he ever. He was the guy that, when they were first in the pods, were asking all the women leading questions, trying to find out, you know, what they weighed or how tall they were or how short they were, you know. Oh, you know, if I took you to a concert and I put you on my shoulders, would I be able to
break the rules?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay, that's kind of a shitty question to ask, you know. Yeah, I don't think, yeah, he was there for all the wrong reasons. It was like the first season, they didn't really know what to expect, and they were there because maybe they were truly trying to find out if this could work and if they could find love. I think in the second season, maybe the people saw it and they applied for it, thinking that, you know, not to look for love, but they were just going to try to become, you know, an internet sensation and, you know, become internet famous. But whatever Shake was doing, I would not want him to be my veterinarian. Don't touch my pets.
So this guy ends up being one of the engaged couples. He is from an Indian family, and it turns out the girl he gets engaged to is as well. And they both stated before they had met face to face that they had never really dated anyone else Indian, that they had always dated white people.
Right.
So they were, you know, both surprised that they were choosing somebody that was from their own background. And, you know, the girl he chose, her name is Deep D. She's a lovely individual, and
she's fantastic. She's cool.
And she, you could, I mean, I know some things were edited out. Like, for one, it's come out that, you know, she had a connection with another one of the guys who they've been spending a bit of time with each other after the show ended. Kyle, yeah. And, but, you know, they can't show everything. But she did seem like she was at least trying to commit to the process. Whereas the guy, Shake, just anytime he wasn't with her, just went out of his way to tell every other person on the show that he was not physically attracted to her.
We have an emotional connection. She's like my aunt. It's like hanging out with my aunt. I'm like, ew, dude. Like, I don't know why he got that far. And like, he just wanted to be famous. He got it that far, and he's like, I don't feel any sexual attraction. There's not this animalistic attraction to her. And I'm like,
Now, you know, it did come out that, you know, she did say that he did bring it up to her face to face, but he, you know, not in the disparaging way that he went about doing it with every, you know, telling that to everybody else. And boy, on the reunion, it's like, he's just like, well, he even posted on his Instagram, he's like, you know, show portrays me as a villain, so I'm going to live up to my villain name.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real, 100%. Keep it real stupid.
Well, also, it's like, are you really being real? Because who the fuck acts like that now? Who acts like that now? It's like, when you know you social media is a thing, you know you're going to get called out on your behavior.
He was like, just Me Too-ing his ass all over the place. You're like, guy, come on, bro. That's... Even the other guys who are like kind of were players are like, dude, bro, come on, man.
The one guy who was cool. Just like, he was just to look like he's related to the Busey family.
Oh, Shane.
Just, yeah. so intense of a dude.
The episode where they went to Wrigley Field.
Oh, my gosh.
He struck out like all the other guys who like, I don't really play baseball. And they're getting hits and doubles and shit. And he's like, oh, I played in college. He struck out. He got so mad.
Tossed the bat.
Like dude, bro, drunken frat boy, man. Like, he was pissed. And I was like, that's not a good sign. It's like, that's a bad character trait. I hope that's going to come up later. And sure enough, Natalie was like, nah, I can't marry you, bro, because you got really mad the other night and you said some shit that I remembered. And
no, he said that she was the worst thing that ever happened to him.
And that he didn't want to marry her.
And
yeah.
That he hated her.
Yeah, it's like, bro. He's like, I said in the heat of the moment. It's like, still, that comes out of your mouth. That's something you think. And that's something you mean.
Yeah, that's like, there's saying
some
mean
things you can't untake. Yeah, you can't take back.
There's saying mean things in the heat of an argument. But then that's a whole nother level.
Yeah, that's being brutal. That's just being mean,
you know,
for
it's
mean's
like,
sake.
It's not like when you're a kid and throwing a temper tantrum and you, you know, yell out, I hate you, to your parents. You know, everyone understands the kid doesn't mean that. But when you do that as an adult, like,
yeah,
you know,
you're a grown-ass 30-something-year-old man. No. Yeah, so he was just like, oh, man, when she broke him off at the altar, I was like, oh, serves you right, bro. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, so... What, two couples did end up getting married on the season. Similar to the first season, to me, like, one couple I can see, like...
The only couple I can see staying married are Jarrett and Ayanna.
Yeah.
The other one, whose name I can't remember.
They were kind of not a memorable.
The kind football. Of the immature girl who had like costumes and
okay,
like yeah, we,
there's nothing no, there's nothing immature about that. Okay, says the girl with a full costume room.
No, I don't mean what I mean is like her friends would come over, they'd be dancing on her table. Yeah, we broke that table because we were dancing on it. I can see why. I mean, in the age difference between them, I can see why him being 36 and he's like. I kind of don't want people coming over and dancing on the table and breaking our shit. That I would probably be annoyed with that. I mean, if he was 26, that'd be a different story, but you know, and he was just really uptight and she was really, she was kind of way too loose about things and he was way too uptight. And I think they're going to argue themselves into a quick divorce.
Well, I think so. If the show runs the same way that the other ones do, because we actually got some more.
They did a 2-year later reunion on the first season.
Well, yeah, but the way the show works was more spelled out in the Japanese version. So, one, in the Japanese version, you get to see a lot more time with them spent when they live together, to where they're like actually back, not like. Just we're meeting the families, or this is how I live, blah blah blah. No, they've gone back to their jobs. You know, you're seeing these couples live together in their real life and having to, you know, actually navigate that. They show you so much of it, you feel like you're. I think they've been together for 3 weeks. So you see a lot more of it and how it affects the relationship dynamics, especially coming from a culture that deals with so much like you know, you act respectful, you know, you don't really confront each other about problems. So it's interesting seeing that and seeing how they're navigating telling somebody that, you know, they're annoying. but also the couples that ended up getting married at the end when they did their reunion. So what we found out that the show had been filmed, what we're seeing in the show, the process and all that, was a year before the reunion at the end of the season. So the couples are not allowed to say they're a couple in that whole time publicly. They're not allowed to like post photos together or anything like that. Once the show starts airing, they can kind of acknowledge and share a little bit of photos, but they can't say whether they got married or broke up. And then they're not allowed to say if they got married, they can't acknowledge it until after the finale airs. And then they can say they're married.
Hmm.
But in addition to that, they can't file the paperwork that says that they're married until after the finale of the show airs.
Wow.
So they're not.
I did not know that.
They are not legally married until they go sign the paperwork, which they are not allowed to do because they can't have it getting out to the press. Or, you know, gossip sites or whatever, people who want to, you know, post spoilers. So in the Japanese reunion, you know, they asked the two couples who got married, have you signed the paperwork yet? And, you know, they explained, well, we haven't been allowed to. And then the hosts are like, oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, you have a contract. You're not allowed to do that. And then one couple, you know, says we have started to fill out the paperwork. We are planning to file it soon. And then the other couple is like, yeah, we're thinking about filing the paperwork. So the both couples a year later are still together, still, you know, but one's obviously more committed to being married, where the other couple seems to be more like, we're taking it slow. We're still together, but, and we're living together now, but, you know, there's not this rush to go make it official or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's, I wonder if it's the same for the other countries and or for America, like, because, you know, obviously once the show starts airing, we could have looked up all these people on their social media and been like, okay, are there pictures of them together for the past year or whatever? And so they have to keep the same stuff secrets. But I wonder if it's the same with the wedding, that they can't file the paperwork until after the finale.
Hmm.
Or the reunion, you know, after the reunion happens, you know, so as to not spoil anything publicly. But either way, like the Japanese version, you know, not as flashy. There is a little bit of drama, but it's totally different types of drama. But it was a fascinating look at how I think the show really is supposed to work. You know, because we're seeing more of them being in their real lives together and not just having conflict edited around conflict.
Well, I think that's a kind of the core difference between the different versions, is that the Japanese and Brazilian versions show more of the standard relationship stuff, them together doing things, whereas the American version, we're all about, ooh, the delicious, juicy conflict, and I want to see them argue. I want to see the awkwardness and the,
bro, you know, if you show
the
more
edited silences that they edit in there, they make it look even more awkward.
Yeah, but to me, it would make the show more believable if, like, you know, we got to see them more time spent on when they're living together. You know?
No, our reality TV, people don't want it as believable. want drama. They want dismay.
I want to believe these people could actually get married and stay married.
Yeah. Like, my
God.
That's
the new show that they teased. Like, oh my God, like, we're just full on going into trash territory now.
What's the new show they teased?
You watched The Reunion, right?
I did not.
Oh, you haven't watched The Reunion?
Okay. I haven't.
Okay. So they teased at the end of The Reunion that the next show that they're going to have, that Nick Lachey and his wife are also going to host. I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically they're bringing in, I think it's called Ultimatum. So they're bringing these couples, well, one person in the relationship, you know, wants to get married and has given an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically bringing them to, what is it? There's another show kind of similar, like Singles Island or Paradise Island, something like that, where you bring existing couples in, but then match them up with singles to see if there's something better out there. So they're basically...
That sounds like whorish trash.
Yeah, so they're basically...
And I'm probably going to watch it.
Tempting people to cheat on their partners.
Oh, that sounds so American. Just, hey, yay, you know, instead of, you know, marrying your partners you've been with for a long time, committing to a lifetime of love and, you know, cherishing and togetherness, here's this hot ass chick, and why don't you go, you know, see if you want to bone her instead.
America. I mean, some of the people they're showing, they're presenting it as, in a way, hey, this person wants to get married, maybe you should go with them instead. So it's not all like, hey, just come be single and party with me. It's, some of it is like, hey, do you want to marry this person
instead of this person?
Yeah.
Make bad decisions. Come on, we'll help. That does sound terrible.
Yeah, but there's our trashy TV segment, folks. We don't always watch nerdy stuff.
Oh yeah, nah, Love is Blind is, I just loved watching everyone flame out this season. It was so, I don't know, I just got a kick out of it.
Like, we don't appreciate watching the people get their feelings hurt, but
right, like, I think it was the one that really surprised me the most was Sal and
Danielle.
What was her name?
Danielle.
No, Sal and
it's not Danielle. Mallory.
No, starts Mallory.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he was just like, they looked like they were in, and he was very romantic and attentive and everything.
But he had some cagey moments too.
Yeah, he did.
Looked like he was hiding some shit.
At that, and he was, I guess he wasn't really ready. And he's like, I'm not ready. And I'm like, they seem nice enough that I hope that they can still, you know, work out a relationship and continue dating and then see it goes from there. Because Mallory's hot.
I'll let you watch the reunion. I'm sure
I'll be like, oh, well, never mind what I just said. But oh shit.
That about winds us down for this week, folks. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. And we hope to see you back again in a few weeks. So until then, y'all take care out there.
And please don't forget your pillow. The Blurred Nerds podcast is proud to be sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet, where comfort rules. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com. You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at Geek Ventures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.